The scripture this morning is from the book of Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her.
Let us pray. Lord, change our hearts. Let us hear your word. Let your spirit speak to and through us. And like Abram, who becomes Abraham, may we too be changed because of abiding in your presence this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 99 years old. 99. That's how old Abram is when God comes to affirm that he and his wife will have a child. Both Abram and Sarai laugh at the prospect. At their age and having remained childless all this time, the possibility of conceiving a child seems impossible. God had promised Abram long before, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Abram and his disbelief had already circumvented God's promise and created his own path to bear his heir, a son named Ishmael, born to a slave girl, Hagar. See, Abram and Sarai could not see a way, and so they had no hope in God's promise. And as we meet Abram and Sarai in this story, they model for us disbelief in the midst of a delayed promise. God has promised land and heir. Sarai and Abram have received neither. See, Abram and Sarai will soon learn that faith requires courageous trusting in that which cannot be seen or known. 99 is a significant number. It references near perfection. Almost, but not yet. See, in Hebrew tradition, 100 is perfection. The fact that Abram is just shy of 100 reinforces the reality that he is not perfect. God has not chosen Abram because of any special kind of greatness. God simply invites Abram into a covenant, and Abram agrees. See, God says to Abram, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. This is God's request. Walk before me and be blameless. But I'm going to rephrase that. Walk in God's sight and be perfect. Walk before me and be blameless. Or walk in God's sight and be perfect. We already know that Abram is not perfect. God is not asking Abram to change who he is or to become something that he's not or to be better or different. The invitation is to walk in God's sight just as you are, your whole imperfect self. See, God wants to see you, to share in all you do. The implication is that simply to walk in God's presence will make Abram perfect in God's eyes. Think about yourself as a parent or an aunt or an uncle or a brother or a sister, and you have eyes on a little one. To walk in God's sight alone is to be perfect. This is perfect faith. That is Creator's longing for all God's children to walk in God's presence. Let's look at the dynamics of this invitation. First, the request is to walk. It doesn't say kneel or bow down or stand still. Faith walks. It's a risk to walk, each step in itself is a potential slip or fall. For a split second, all of your weight shifts onto one foot, and every step is like a momentary falling before you catch yourself. Add in various terrain, weather, time of day, and for me, the most difficult, direction, knowing where you're going. Right? Without taking the risk of a step, we get nowhere. Faith requires courage to walk. Secondly, notice that God doesn't say, follow me. The directive is to walk before God. So you're actually in God's sight. You must be forever aware of God's presence behind you, which you cannot see if you plan on seeing where you're going. You must trust, then, that God is always with you. Faith requires trust. Perfect faith is perfect trust, perfect courage in God's abiding presence. Walk in God's sight and be perfect. Here is the message of faith. Of the necessary, courageous trusting that God asks of us all. So we have Abram and Sarai, though, that when they hear they're going to have a child, they laugh at what God promises. What? Have a child? That's impossible. In fact, it's really physically impossible, right? Neither Abram or Sarai can see how such a thing could happen. See, this is the promise of God, the desire of their hearts. And it seems as though the time for such a promise had passed. This is often the case in our human hopes. See, our hopes are limited to what we can see, what we can even imagine, because that's of this world. Our vision is short-sighted. But imagine the fact that God walks with us in his sight. That means God is looking further ahead, has a bigger scope than we have. God's vision is so much bigger than we can possibly imagine. So when we choose to walk in God's sight, abiding in the presence of a God who loves us, hope lives. Isaac is born. And though Abraham and Sarah never lived to actually see their people enter the promised land, they experience the impossible. A child is born to them, and the hope and future of the Israelite people is given through the grace of God alone. And they know that it's only through God that such a thing could possibly have happened. According to theologian Walter Brueggemann, he says, the story of their lives, of Abraham and Sarah, is the story of hopeful but impatient groaning as they wait for the redemption of their bodies and of their history. Think about that. Hopeful but impatient groaning. Abram and Sarai learn to walk in God's sight. They learn how to live by perfect faith. It says in Romans 8, for in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Think about that. If you can see it, is that hoping? You have to hope for something you can't see. This is the basic foundation of faith, friends. Courageous trusting in the impossible and miracles. Having hope where there is no hope. Believing in that which we can't see or imagine. Trusting that there is something mysterious and ineffable, working for the goodness of all creation, actually working even for the goodness of you. Isn't that where we often doubt that there's really something that is working for our goodness, that we're worthy of that? And that's where Abram and Sarai faltered. At 99, near perfect, Abram had lost hope. It takes perfect faith in the abiding presence of God. It requires us to live life with a courageous trusting in God's faithful goodness and abundance. And when you read a story like that of the Hebrew people in exile and wandering in the desert and finally entering the promised land, it may not seem so relevant to your life. It may actually seem impossible, right? It may actually seem like it's just a story. And so we too falter. We too doubt in the abiding presence of God. See, our vision is short-sighted. But there is a God who holds us in God's sight. I have witnessed such hope and faith. I know firsthand about the abiding presence of a God who fulfills delayed promises, who makes the impossible possible. See, these words that Walter Brueggemann uses to describe Abram and Sarah, this idea of hopeful but impatient groaning as they wait for redemption, it reminds me of my Haitian brothers and sisters in a homeless community called Village Mosaic. The story of the Hebrew people is their story too. On January 12th, in 2010 in Haiti, there was a catastrophic 7.0 magnitude earthquake. 300,000 people perished. The entire country was really devastated and demolished. Well, in the midst of that devastation, 126 homeless families united as one people with one hope to build a village where everyone has a home, water, food, health care, and education. In the 5 years following the earthquake, Village Mosaic underwent additional tragic experiences as they were violently forced to move from two different sites. People were killed, their homes bulldozed. Eventually, they were forced into the hills of Titayen, a desert wasteland by the sea, with no access to fresh water, medical care, school, work. This was the location where they dumped the 300,000 bodies from the earthquake. The people of Village Mosaic were placed in exile. They were placed literally in a wasteland. They became squatters, starving and thirsty. With the leadership of a Haitian musician, Mona Augustin, and assisting organizations, Village Mosaic purchased a small piece of land in a faraway place called Hench. The earth of this land is rich, soft loam. There are streams and mango trees. Nearby, there are schools and medical facilities. This literally is the land of milk and honey, like the promised land for the Israelites. And this is where I met the people of Village Mosaic. In the midst of their hopeful but impatient groaning for a place to call home, for peace and security. See, here they're waiting. A people with land without any resources to move or build homes. This is a story today, not just a story thousands of years ago. This is a truth today. See, Village Mosaic is more than a vision. It represents an identity like that the Hebrew people held as one people, that offers hope to a people who have nothing else to hold on to because they own nothing. And they watch promises come and go with the wind that blows off the sea. So this became really evident to me on a small journey to their tiny piece of land that can't really sustain all the families, but offers the soil for which to plant their roots and nurture their hope. I returned to this community after I visited it the first time, and we rented a bus. Just to give an opportunity for the people of Village Mosaic to actually go to the land in Hench. For many, this was the first time that they would actually get to see the land with which they were waiting for. And on this yellow school bus, I learned about the spirit of a people who are determined to move forward. A people who walk in faith. Traveling in Haiti is a challenge, but maneuvering a loaded bus across Mont Cabri, or Goat Mountain, around impassable roads and amidst unexpected obstacles truly requires a spirit of courage, trust, and patience. The journey itself began with a four-hour delay. Why? Because the bus broke down even before it got there. That's typical. What should have been a three-hour ride turned into a six-hour road trip. Along the way, roads under construction or closed forced our bus to find new paths, make tight turns, and even drive in reverse. I'm not kidding when I say I think we drove backwards more than we drove forwards, okay? People got on and off the bus to direct traffic, find safe paths. They literally walk along the roads and direct the bus on where to go in order to stay safe. But always, always eventually to go forward. One turn could take 15 or 20 minutes. Backing up, pulling forward, backing up, pulling forward. At one point it rained so hard that we had to stop because we had our mattresses and tents on the roof of the bus. We had to unload everything, put it inside. And as we entered Hench, we were stopped by the police because we didn't have the proper paperwork to travel into the district. Nothing, not one obstacle ever turned that bus around from its eventual destination. Here's the thing, on the bus, these men, women, and children encountered each obstacle with the same spirit. Many people all trying to help, but with a patience and acceptance that life on all roads and in all different ways presents itself with rain, blockades, corruption, and the unexpected obstacles. Nobody inquired about when we would actually arrive. The children didn't cry or complain. Though it was really hot. This is August in Haiti. And we didn't have food or water this entire time. We traveled in God's sight in this overwhelming trust that certainly we would arrive. We'll arrive when we arrive. When we finally reached the dirt path, not a road, by the way, that would lead to the land of Village Mosaic, it was dark. And when we came to this corner where we had to turn in, there was a tree, a big tree on this side, and there was this little slender tree. I'm not kidding. It couldn't have been more than this big. But trees in Haiti are valuable because we stripped them all from Haiti. But this little tree stood at this corner, and the bus couldn't turn. So all these people got off the bus using three flashlights that I had brought, little handheld flashlights, and they directed this bus forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards. I don't know how many times and how long it actually took before we could move forward. I can tell you, though, that when we finally made that turn, I have never heard a more triumphant cheer than the one that cried out in Haiti that night. See, it was the sound of a hopeful people giving birth to their dream. Because here we turned onto this road that led to their land, to their future, to their hope. Their village is carried with them. And the hearts of a people who have chosen to join together with the living spirit of God and be one, no matter what, no matter where, no matter how long it takes. The land in Hench is just the ground that will provide. But now, 3 years later, after this long bus trip that I took with Village Mosaic, the news is that there is a community center there. A well, latrines, cornfields, gardens, a truck, and 5 houses. 7 families live in that village right now. Children are attending school. They are Village Mosaic, hopeful as they walk in God's sight with perfect faith. There is no way when I went 3 years ago, that there was a vision or a possibility. God finds the way. The possibilities that we can't see come to life. And I've watched a people enter their promised land. Faith is just that starting point, right? There's no belief or rule or creed that can prove it. If we search for proof, the logic looks something like this. If our hope becomes a reality, we believe there's a God. Right? But if our hopes fail, then there must not be a God, because we can't see another way around it. Or if our hopes do become a reality, we feel we're worthy. But if our hopes fail, we must not be worthy. Such logic depends only on what we can see. It is limited to this world. That's not faith. Faith demands a courageous trusting in that which cannot be seen. Faith accepts the mystery and believes in the impossible. Faith is an experience of the heart. It's lived. It's the story of Abram and Sarai. And it's the story of Village Mosaic. It's the story of all of us. I can guarantee you that there is something in your life at some point where the impossible became possible. Remember, perfect faith is perfect trust, perfect courage in God's abiding presence. Walk in God's sight and be perfect. Here is the message of faith, of the necessary courageous trusting that God asks of us. Amen.